This is Working with the Law, Week 3, with transformational life coach Christy Carotti.
Hello and welcome. This is Working with the Law. And today we're going to explore the law of supply from Raymond Holywell's work. But right now we're going to start from that place that we always start, and that is to set the tone in gratitude and proud of. So I'll open up with putting out the idea of gratitude for my home, coming home to my home after being gone for 10 days, and especially my amazing kitchen that supports our healthy eating and as well as being in the beauty. When we surround ourselves with beauty, everything becomes beautiful. The idea is just to be in beauty creates that vibrational frequency of beauty. And I'm grateful for having this beautiful place to be and create healthy food. We had a wonderful family meal last night after eating on the road for 10 days. It was wonderful, and I'm grateful for my home, my kitchen, and healthy eating. And I'm proud of healthy eating. I'm proud of beginning to know I was not raised with healthy eating and letting go of the old habits of how I ate, how I was taught to eat. So I'm proud of that. So right now, take a minute and think of your own gratitudes and your proud ofs, and let's weave them together to create this atmosphere of allowing, the learning in, to allow the insights, to allow the universe to move us in the direction of our dream, of our next becoming. And you might take a minute to jot those down. So today we're studying the law of supply. And as I re-study this, I came up with three tools for out of this material of how we can create supply. Because one of the things basically the work is to create the magnet of supply. Here's a quote. Our mental magnet then is greatly reduced in strength by worries and fears, and our inflow of good is slowly closed off or muted. If our mental force becomes too weakened, we may even repel the little good that is trying to reach us. Likewise, the mind magnet of a person can be stimulated to a strong force of attraction. And so the law of supply is virtually the concept that everything is available to us. We are sitting in supply. And that it is through our mental thought, through our mental development, our exercise, our calisthenics, if you will, of our thought process to move into the place of allowing that supply in. It's like the story that's told about the farmer that is struggling all along to become... to make a living with his cattle, and the cattle don't like the water that's there, and it's almost like not using what's available to him, but thinking he knows the way to make it work. It's the only way he knows. He was probably raised in families of ranchers raising cattle, and then somebody discovers through the water the cows would not drink, that was actually an indication of that there was something greater going on in place. And that's one of the reasons we use our discontent and our struggles. Those are actually gifts for us. Those are actually ways that we can turn and see, well, if this isn't working, why, what is in this for me to learn? So the three points that I've come up with out of this material are the three tools that we can use to open ourselves to supply and create supply is, first of all, to declare. And we want to declare, that's declaring what it is that we are desiring with calm confidence. So that's tool number one. And I'm going to go back through these and make some points on it. And tool number two is to live in a new way, letting go of old constraints. And the third way is creative thinking, that we need to, we create a need or a demand, and that opens us up to creative thinking that leads us to that we have declared. So these are the three steps, and I'm going to go back and talk about these a little bit. So to declare what we are declaring is not just to make the statement, like we decide for something, we make a decision. That's what declaring is. It's like, okay, I choose to become a healthy weight. So if I declare that, and if I've made that decision, and I move in every act and action, every thought and action, not just action, not just acting, but the thought. So remember, our thought creates our feeling. So there has to be a feeling. Is it passion? Is it disappointment? Is it, what is the feeling? So our thought creates our feeling, creates our action, creates our result. So, and then if we worry and fret about it, then we are, that is actually the thought. We have turned our thought to the worry and the fretting of it. Okay, so the checkbook's a great example of this. Okay, so our thought is to have $1,000 at the, like Gay Hendricks, Mary talks about the story about Gay Hendricks and when he really started shifting his thinking around, he just started declaring that there would be $1,000not needed for any particular thing to, at the end of the month. And so he declared that, and he envisioned that, and he saw that. And all of his thoughts and actions, now the actions are not, I remember being on a call one time and somebody said, well, if I'm going to have $1,000 at the end of the month, then that means that I have to really tighten my belt. That's actually a worry or fret thought, right? That out of lack, I need to tighten my belt in order to have $1,000 at the end of the month. That is not what this is about. It's about declaring it and in our every act and action toward a positive flow of vibration, what we do to create that. One thing might be to invite a new person to your yoga class. We want to do this with calm confidence and let go of worry and fret. And our breath can be a tool to help us do that. So that's tool number one, to declare or to decide for and have every thought and action moving in the positive flow or direction of that with calm confidence. So the second tool is to live in a new way and to let go of restraints. Well, this is basically letting go of our paradigms. So we identify, and we can also use that through our struggle or our discontent. What is our struggle or discontent? Now, we can look to that. If we really need to bust a paradigm, we can look to that and say, oh, what's the thought or the thinking in that? And we can identify the thinking. We were raised to think that way. You know, it's an outside world thinking. It's the idea of looking at our checkbook or what have we been trained to think about? Live in a new way, letting go of the constraints. Okay. And so we can identify those paradigms or we can just say, oh, look, here's a discord. Here's a struggle. What is it that I have decided for? So we go back up to tool number one and we just move in that direction. Now, if it repeats itself over and over again, we keep turning our, this is about building a habit. Building a habit. You know, last week we talked about a habit. I've come upon a habit with my coach has identified a habit of mine. And it's like, I didn't even realize it was just a habit. I thought it was a condition. I thought it was a paradigm that had some meat to it. And the only meat it had was a habit, that I had done it for so long that I didn't know any other way to do it. So once we know that that's a habit, we can hit the pause button and repattern. Or we can just say, is there a struggle going on? Am I feeling some kind of constraint? What is it that I need to do to turn to look forward in the direction of? And that's why we have that dream, you know, without a vision or a dream, without something in that GPS system, there's no guidance, there's no direction. Okay. So the third way is creative thinking. And this is why we create need or demand or desire. I actually encountered a potential client yesterday who is in such a position that she knows the feeling that she wants to have or create, but there's no real need to generate income, to do anything that pulls her forward. And it's like this moment of being, she realizes it's a moment of being an open slate. Her life situations have just put her in the place where the world is totally open to her. But because there is no need or demand or desire, it's like, what direction do I go? What is the meaning of my life? And so nothing is moving to fill that. You know, it's just like every time I know that I'm going to stay in this work with my teachers and mentors, and every time it's time to re-enroll, it's always a little bit more. It's always a little bit more than even what I expected, you know, even, and it's always a reach. And I love that it's a reach, both financially, time-wise, content and curriculum-wise, because it always keeps pulling me in that direction of my greater becoming. And so if we look at the law of supply and we relate it to money, then really we can celebrate and bless our bills. Because really think about, if we didn't have our bills, and we, because we're conscious thinkers, could have a different way to deal with this, but think of what it's doing for us, what it has done for us. It has encouraged us, now we have a conscious way of looking at this, to find work that we love to support having a home, having electricity, having the travel, whatever it is in our life. And so that is creating the need or the demand. And this leads us to creative ideas, as long as we are open to creative thinking. Here's a real great example of this. My younger brother is actually a retiree, multimillionaire retiree from Microsoft. At the age of 37, he left Microsoft and was a millionaire when he left. And one time he said to me, I can't even afford to travel like you do, Christy. And so I want to put out the concept of, it's not the money we want, it's what it allows us that we want. And sometimes this is where the supply is. And so anytime we create that demand, we want to ask those five questions. You know, does it give me life? Does it cause me to grow? You know, the five questions. Because then, as opposed to the story of the man who made a lot of money, but he lost his relationships, you know, that's one of the core values that I navigate with right now. Does this take away from my family time? And if it takes away from my family time, it's not the right direction for me. So I had the value of travel. My brother had another value. And now he's traveling. They travel. But it was just interesting thought that he has all this money, has all this available to him, and he wasn't feeling that he could travel like I traveled. So that's another thing, is thinking about, you know, Jerry and I took a year off and traveled the world. And, you know, we had set it up in such a way that we could live and travel for that year. Partly we rented our house out, so we didn't have a set place to live. So we didn't need the income to pay the mortgage payment. That was a choice that we made. And we had set it up so that we could easily travel the world for a year. And it is such a different lifestyle than now, when we are, in a sense, you know, tethered to the house. And our traveling is very different. You know, we travel for a week or two, not 12 months. So we want to think about the law of supply, not just in terms of money, but what it is that we want. And if it is money, what it will allow us. So how do we open the door rather than enter through the keyhole? So those are three tools that help us with that. I had a few things in here that I wanted to share. Here's one of the statements from the work. If we love the law, use the law to gain supply and use it wisely, it will satisfy every desire. Okay, and what does that mean, to love the law? To love the law means to work with it, with the law, not in the way like the guy who goes into the bank and wants to cash a check without putting his name on it first. We need to use the law the way that the law works, and that's what's loving the law. It's like if we say, oh, you know, I don't love the law, I want to do it my own way. It just won't work. There are laws in place, and if we use them, they allow our greater freedom. We will learn how to live wholesomely, freely, wisely, and there will be no losses. Our lives will be as complete as God, the law, designed them to be. And, of course, that's the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to choose to live in harmony with the laws of the universe, in harmony with God's way. We say God's way, it's the law's way. When we're working against the law, we are really working. So if there's effort or struggle, we can just realize that somehow we are not working with the law. And so we can just stop and say, how do I work with the law? And for me, a lot of this work is about chipping away, like the sculpture of Lincoln or of David, that we chip away and let go of what isn't. And that's how we move into supply. In truth, man embodies every law of nature related to his highest welfare and orderly growth. He is not separated from any good that he may need to enhance his happiness or further his progress. The use he makes of his present endowment of intelligence and power, that is the only thing that keeps us from our good. So you are entitled to all good you can appropriate and use. The more good you realize and enjoy, the more you live in accord with the purpose of the ever-present spirit of goodness. That's what this work is about learning how to use the law of supply. Okay, how do we do it? And that's where I searched through the material and I looked at what are three key tools that we can use to actually understand and shift our thought from a limitation thinking to opening up to knowing and experiencing that sense of sitting in the all supply. And what are tools that we can use to move in that direction? So I came up with declare it. So that's where we consciously use our mind to declare it, but we must declare it with calm confidence, and we must move in the direction of it with all of our thought and action. And that's where we write down. And that's why one of the reasons we get specific around our income that we want to generate. I mean, just to tell the universe, I want to be financially free. Well, in any moment in time, you are financially free as long as you are in the thought of it. When we're not sitting down looking at our checkbook and paying our bills, we are financially free. But how do we shift that then and overlay it onto the moments when we pay our checkbook and we can sit there and declare what it is that we are moving in the direction of, and knowing that it is happening and knowing that through all our thoughts and actions with calm confidence that we are that person that is accessing all supply. So to declare with calm confidence. And the second one is to live in a new way. That means letting go of old habitual thinking. I mean, really, if you are feeling self-doubt, lack of deserving, lack of source, these are all just habitual thinking. And so what do we do to change a habit? We come up with a way of reprogramming it. So, you know, I deal with my sense of worthiness and deserving as well. So now my current affirmation is I am a divine child of God, and by my nature, I am worthy and deserving. And to practice that all the time and to get it in your cellular system so that when something comes up that says, oh, this is your old belief system, this is just an old habit, we can input that new, by my nature, I'm worthy and deserving. So that's what that means, to live in a new way, letting go of constraints. So really working on our habitual thinking. It reminds me of the fly in the window, you know, that we're oftentimes trying and trying and trying to get out because it looks like this is the direction to go. And yet, you know, just 20 feet across the room is an open door. You know, how do we make that turn? First, you have to stop fighting to get in that direction. And that's one of the clues. Is it feel like an effort? Does it feel like a struggle? Does it feel like a fight? And then the third is to think outside the box, to think new thoughts, to think in ways, you know, the ability to create a car was always in existence. It wasn't until the need or demand came up that then the creative thinking took place. You know, I guess it was Ford that says, went to his engineers and said, I want you to come up with a means of creating a combustible engine. And they said it wasn't possible. And he says, I know it's possible because I can think of it. Because I can think it, I know that it can become it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Here are two exclusive podcast listener offers. First, for a limited time, podcast listeners can work with Christy in person at a deep discount. Christy offers a unique coaching modality of her own creation that helps clients discover their own answers to where they're stuck and how to move forward. As one of her clients puts it, it always works. This transformative process is designed to help you identify blocks and create breakthroughs in your personal and professional life. As a thank you for listening to the podcast, you're eligible for a special discount. Normally $97 for a half-hour introductory session, podcast listeners get a $70 discount automatically applied if you use this link, masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. That's masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. And that link is in the podcast general description as well. Second, you can get the entire library of Mastering the Art of Life with PDF notes and worksheets for each lesson, plus bonuses at no cost at masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in, all one word, masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in. That link is also in the general podcast description.